Now it's time to look through the window of baseball with our dear friend from the San Francisco Chronicle. That is Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, good morning.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys. Yeah, for a minute there, Patrick, I thought you were going to say your dad brought you a brewery. That would have really been good.
Well, we don't travel in cotton like that, Bruce. We're not up in that league just yet. Not yet.
Very good. Hey, last night, Bruce, I tell you, you go to a million games, everything. It's always the same game, but it always looks different. And that ninth inning last night was one of those baseball innings. If you watch these games, you say, here it comes. You can just feel it, and I could just feel it last night. It wasn't going to end well.
Well, I didn't feel that way at the start of the inning, but as soon as they got, and even when they got two guys on, but as soon as Pagan made that mistake, which was very uncharacteristic, I mean, he just wanted to pretty much end it right there, turn that into a double play and get the guy at third, but obviously a big mistake. All of a sudden you're thinking, oh, man, you know, at that point you definitely get that feeling. And, you know, if you're sitting in the press box like Alex or Henry or Andy Baggerly, you're thinking, now, wait a minute now. I just wrote a story that looks pretty good to me, and it's going to be complete junk if this thing, goes to pieces. And it did. And, I mean, you know, there's just so many crazy things happen. I mean, not mentioned by too many people that Hector Sanchez had a pitch that he definitely should have blocked. His fundamentals are not good on that play, and that hurt him. You know, Contos comes in, his first pitch lands about 2 feet in front of the plate, and the whole thing was disturbing. I don't think any single aspect of it is particularly troubling, like, oh my God, we're going to see this every night. But you know, it all added up to trouble. I think that the one concern is Romo pitching to left-handed hitters and how he's kind of adjusting his arsenal there, throwing in more change-ups, trying to, you know, time the slider just right, don't hang it. But you know, overall, I don't think a big, massive concern.
No, you know, Romo, again, you don't want to pile on him because, truthfully, the real story of the game last night was Lincecum.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I mean, other than the two-out hit to Morneau, who's really a terrific ball player when healthy. Other than that, he got in trouble at the end of the order, which is sort of what he gets to do, and he walks people or gives up a hit to the pitcher. But other than that, I mean, his velocity was really pretty good last night. His birthday is tomorrow. He'll be 30.
Yep.
Maybe the light's coming on.
It's amazing to think of Tim Lincecum being anywhere in his 30s, isn't it? I mean, and it's really I feel he's a treasure at this point that he's still with the Giants and still pitching great. He's not the old Tim, but I mean, when he came up, I think a lot of people, especially the teams that didn't draft him, felt like, well, you know, just wait till this guy's wacky arm motion puts him on the DL, you know, for life. But I was out there last night with my family and a couple other families, and he threw one pitch. I'm going, man, that looked pretty lively. And looked up, it was 94.
Yeah.
So I mean, that was very encouraging, and that's something you can take with you out of that game.
Yeah, big time. And it's fun to watch Lincecum have a little success. And I know he pitches well at home here. Hey, Bruce, you bring up that Lincecum's never, or his health. I mean, this guy's never been on the DL, and I think he's maybe missed two starts in his career because of blisters or whatever. On the other dugout, the Rockies seem to be consistently hit, even their big power hitters and their star players. There's got to be something to the trainers for each club, and some trainers are just better than others because the Giants, for the most part, they stay healthy.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's going on in Colorado. They have had a bunch of injuries. It's almost laughable if you're from the outside. It's like, how can any team withstand this? I mean, Tulowitzki's just running down to first base, and next thing you know, he can barely walk. I don't know about that, but I do know that the Giants staff is exceptional. From a training and a coaching standpoint, you know, I really like the way they handle pitchers. Just the way they let Lincecum and Barry Zito, two of the most unconventional guys you've ever seen, just do their thing. You know, Zito is going to long toss, all right? He's going to long toss. Zito could pitch eight innings tomorrow. You know, he could come out of wherever he's been and go out there and throw. Lincecum, he doesn't ice up. He's got an unusual delivery, but he has tremendous success, and I think that says a lot about the Giants. I think at first they wanted to change both guys, but they realized that, you know, these guys are who they are because of that, because of the unconventionality. And I like any team that doesn't cling to rules like, oh my God, 100 pitches, your arm's going to fall off, or we got to limit this guy's innings or whatever. They take it on a case by case, which I think is very smart.
Bruce, Casilla's on his way back. I would think we'd probably see him today or tomorrow. Bruce Bochy told me that on our interview this morning. Probably the latest would be tomorrow. You bring him back and Machi, and then you have Affelt Lopez from the other side and Gutierrez in the seventh inning. And Romo does his job. Let's face it, he does his job.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bullpen again. That's a bullpen and a half. And again, after six innings, you just feel this thing. 3-2 lead after six. He's going to take it home. I just tell you, I just think it's the Rockies in the guy's head. I really do.
Well, that could be. That's something really only he could answer. But, you know, at the same time, it's not like they lit him up. The balls were not crushed. They found holes, and especially the one that put runners at first and second was a blooper. I don't know. That's an interesting point. I mean, I'd need a little more evidence on that, considering that, you know, he wasn't horrible last night. The results certainly were, but and you know, after the game, I wasn't in the clubhouse. I just went out as a fan. But you know, he stood up and talked to writers, which is great. I mean, I know he had to be fuming, and there have been times in the past when he didn't really feel like talking. But that's what you do as a professional. And he, you know, I think it's. I don't think he's deeply affected in any way. I hope not.
No, I don't think so. But you know, it's worth watching a little bit. Bruce, I had Jay Alvis on this morning talking a little bit about Bob Welch. I'll have a memory of the game with Bob Welch coming up, maybe after your segment. You knew Bob Welch, did you not?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't cover that team, obviously, but I was covering baseball, you know, when he was in his prime, and you know, I just remember. You know, he breaks in with the Dodgers in '78, and this is a team with, you know, Reggie Smith and Monday and Yeager and the classic infield, Garvey, Lopes, Russell, and Say, Dusty Baker. You know, Dave Stewart made some appearances on that team. Don Sutton. I mean, he comes into this team of unbelievable collection of veterans, you know, bound for the World Series, and is just completely ready to go. You know, I think he was like 7-4, great ERA, and of course he had the classic. Confrontation with Reggie Jackson in the World Series where he just threw nothing but heat. It had to be close to 100 miles an hour. And I just thought, God, this guy is so ready to pitch in the big leagues. And sometimes you see something like that, and it turns out it's kind of an aberration. You know, he can't sustain it. But, you know, Welch definitely did. You know, he had a lot of personal problems. He was a heavy drinker. He got through that. Great teammate. I'm sure everybody you've talked to has said the same thing. And you know, the last guy to win at least 25 games. And when he joined the A's, he had the same kind of crew that he saw when he broke in with the Dodgers. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the McGuire and Lansford, Dave Henderson, Canseco, Don Baylor, Dave Parker. And he fit in so great with that team. And that World Series didn't turn out so well, but he gave it a great run with the A's. And, you know, he's a guy... I think he had over 60 complete games. He pitched 200 innings, a whole almost 9 or 10 times. I just love that kind of durability. We don't see that much today. So in every respect, he's a guy well remembered.
Well, good memory, Pappy. Just jump in.
Go ahead, Marty.
61 complete games. Very good,
wow.
Bruce. Good memory.
Wow. Hey, Bruce, you talked about that epic battle between Welch and Reggie Jackson. And speaking of the pinstripes, Jeter makes his final final appearance here in Oakland, unless they meet in the playoffs, right? So where do you place Jeter in the all-time Yankees?
Oh, he's right there. He's the shortstop. He's the shortstop on the all-time Yankee team ahead of, you know, Rizzuto and Crosetti, for my money. You know, they've got that classic lineup of the retired numbers.
Yeah.
1 through 9, it's almost perfect. You know, how each guy fits that number. Now they got Torrey's number 6 and Jeter's number rounding out that group with Ruth and Gehrig and DiMaggio and Yogi and everybody else. But, you know, class, performance. I was always amazed by the staff guys, you know, riddling Jeter for this deficiency or that.
Right.
Sitting there reading, you know, a bunch of stat sheets and defensive metrics and not bothering to look at what he meant to the team in the dugout, at the plate, and just, you know, after the game, when there's chaos surrounding the Yankees, it always seemed to be, and he's a guy who would always kind of sit there and talk calmly and put things in perspective. And somebody always has to do that in a situation like that. And you got a bunch of guys that are flying off the handle and don't want to talk to anybody. And things like that, to me, are what made Jeter a great player. I was so fortunate to cover all the World Series that he was in back in his prime. And they had a lot of great players on that team, but he was the glue and just a tremendously classy individual.
Boy, good time for baseball. Bruce, One last thought today. I looked at the standings, and I looked at baseball in general, and just about every division, including this division, we have a summer ahead of us. There's 90-some-odd games to go. This is where your pitching rotation comes together. This is where the team on the field comes together. You're at 500. All of a sudden, you win 16 out of 20, and this is the story of baseball. We're on the precipice of the beginning of that walk through the summer. And if you look at every other division, let's not look at this one for a second because they have a nice lead. Every other division, I could pick out a team and say, this will be a memorable race.
Yeah, the American League Central is just fantastic. I mean, everybody's in it, literally. They're all. I mean, Kansas City is finally, you know, making a move. I don't think Toronto's going to hold on to that lead in the East. I think the Giants division is. I'm not sure it's going to tighten up, actually, but your instinct would say that it will from a Dodgers standpoint. Who knows what happens there? But I just can't. I can't imagine the Dodgers, you know, going completely quiet the whole summer. So. You know, absolutely. I mean, Washington came in here. That's the first really big statement I think they've made where everybody takes notice. And so that's going to be a great race. You know, the Cardinals are going to be in it. It is. It really is terrific. It's going to be you're really going to want to read everything you can on the Internet because there's so much going on outside of the Bay Area. As great a story as we have, it's just everywhere you look, something great's happening.
Hey,
definitely.
Great to have you on, Bruce. What's up for you today?
Well, I'm a real devotee of the World Cup, and I'm catching up on the Internet and baseball stuff right now. I've got stuff DVR'd, but we're going to throw a little party here around the England-Italy game later today.
Nice.
I think some alcohol will be poured.
Some Peronis, Bruce?
What's that?
Some Peronis, maybe? Some Italian beer?
Some Peronis. We're going to have, you know, some Pilsner. We'll have the whole thing. With fans from both teams, it should be pretty lively. There's nothing quite like it.
See, cool. Now that I should do. Now, forget the A's-Yankee game. I should be at his house this afternoon.
Definitely. Hey, Bruce, tomorrow I'd like to talk to you about something in your three-dot lounge today, the culture war within baseball, sabermetricians versus the rest of us. I thought that was a really interesting point and a quote from Matt Cain, so maybe tomorrow we can address that just briefly.
Yeah, that's always a lively topic, I think.
Watch out.
Yeah, get your email ready.
Thanks, Bruce.
Right, have a good afternoon.
Guys. Talk to you then.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure for the Chronicle. All right, more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.